Heavenly Father, I pray that you are going to speak to each and every one of us and open our eyes that we can understand what you have to say to us. And open our mind that we can see the wonderful thing that is written in the book of Romans. And help us to walk in it. Help us to experience your blessing. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Will you please turn to Romans chapter 3, verse 31. Joyce, could you read that?
Do we then nullify the law by the Spirit? Not at all. Rather, we uphold the law.
A lot of Christians, they think, now, a righteousness from God is not by work, is not by work nor by law. A righteousness from God is by faith. A lot of people think, then we nullify the law by his faith. And Paul saying that, not at all. Rather, we uphold the law. And Joyce, could you read Romans chapter 10? I want you to write this down, write these Bible verses down, and I want you to study it after you hear what I say at home yourself to see whether it makes sense. Okay? Romans chapter 10, verse 4.
Christ is the end of the law, so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes.
In here, I want you to study Romans 3:31 and Romans 10:4 together. If we don't think about that, we misunderstood what the Bible says. The Bible says Christ is the end of the law. Unfortunately, a lot of people, they don't understand what they really mean. Christ is the end of the law. And then, by faith, we do not abolish the law. We uphold the law. By faith. 3:31.
Do we then nullify the law by this faith? Not at all. Rather, we uphold the law.
So by faith, we uphold the law. By faith, we uphold the law. And then 10:4, chapter 10, verse 4, Christ is the end of the law. If I put these two Bible verses together without really thinking that, it is confusing. What does it mean by Christ is the end of the law? I want you to write it down. The explanation is in verse 1 to verse 3. And also the explanation is in verse 5 all the way to the end. But I just picked a few key words to help you to understand. Righteousness in verse 5, chapter 10, verse 5, Moses described in this way, the righteousness that is by the law. And then in verse 6, the righteousness that is by faith. So in other words, there's two kinds of righteousness. 10:5 is number one. The righteousness by the law.
the righteousness that is by the law. The righteousness that is by the law. And number two, 10:6. The righteousness that is by faith. So what does it mean by Christ is the end of the law? Christ is the end of the law. That means no one can get the righteousness that is by the law. That's what he means by Christ is the end of the law. We can only obtain the righteousness by faith. You got it? Christ is the end of the law. Unfortunately, if you just pick one Bible verses out and then explain what you want to explain, it is very, very dangerous. And that's exactly a lot of Christians are doing it. See, Christ is the end of the law means the righteousness that is by the law, the door is shut. You cannot get righteousness by the law. You can only get righteousness by faith. Because Christ is the end of the law. Christ is the end of the law means the righteousness from God that is by faith. Okay? No other way to do it. That's why Jesus Christ said, I am the way. And no other way. The only way we can receive God's righteousness is by faith, not by the law. And Christ is the end of the law. In other words, in order for you to be saved, has to be saved by grace through faith. Okay? Now, I would write it down right beside chapter 10, verse 4, Christ, the end of the law. I write down Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. We are saved through faith by grace, because Christ is the end of the law. Okay? Now I want to go back to Romans chapter 3, verse 31. Paul saying that, now that you are saved, now that you are justified freely by grace through faith, we are justified freely, if I remember right, it's 325. We are justified freely. 324?
Yeah? And are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus.
Okay. 324, not 325. We are justified freely by grace through faith. That's how we justify. Because Christ is the end of the law. Christ is the end of the law. So 324 only talk about the first part of the salvation. Because salvation is by grace through faith. 324 talk about the first part of the salvation. the second part of our salvation. Right after we are saved, what should we do? Right after what we are saved, we should uphold the law. 3:31. What's the first part of the salvation? First part of the salvation is Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. What's the second part? Second part is Romans 3:31. It's also equal to equivalent to Ephesians 2:10. After we are saved, we have to do good work. So what's that good work? That good work is love one another. We uphold the law. The entire law sum up in one word is love. Right beside uphold the law, I want you to write down 13:8-10. Remember one thing. When you explain the Bible verses, you always use the context. Context just is sermon, harmon. What is mentioned before, what is mentioned after. You don't just pick chapter 10, verse 4, say Christ, the end of the law. Then we don't have to do anything. We don't have to uphold the law. Okay? You misinterpret the Bible if you say Christ the end of the law means we abolish the law. No. Christ the end of the law means no one can get righteousness by the law. We got God. We get God righteousness by faith. You see what I mean? That's what it means by Christ, the end of the law. You have to use the text to explain it. And after you explain it, you make sure you take a look at other apostles. Apostle John, Apostle Peter, Apostle James, what the other apostles say about that too. Then your explanation will be correct. You understand? Don't just develop your theology by just one Bible verses and then say what you like to say. It's very dangerous. You got that? Now, I mentioned what Paul's saying. First of all, Paul's saying that chapter 10, verse 4, Christ, the end of the law. End of the law means we can only get God's righteousness by faith, not by law. So that's why he said Christ, the end of the law. But the end of the law is with limited explanation. Because then in chapter 3, verse 31, by faith, we uphold the law. We don't abolish the law. Okay, let me take a look at Matthew to see what Matthew is saying about that. Matthew chapter 5, verse 17 and 18. Will someone read that to me? What Jesus said? Jesus said, I do not come here to abolish the law. I come here to fulfill the law.
Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. I tell you the truth. Until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen, will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished.
So in other words, what Paul's saying is correct. Although Paul's saying that Christ is the end of the law, by faith in Christ Jesus, we uphold the law. We don't abolish it. We uphold the law means we do good deeds after we are saved. That's what he really means. Don't ever tell me that, oh, now I'm saved by grace through faith.
I can do whatever I like. That's not what the Bible says. Don't ever do that. If you do that, you're in deep trouble. Okay? Take a look. Whether there's, if there's anyone who did it, definitely. Take a look at the second last book, Jude, before Revelation. Some people did that. Jude? Joyce, could you read it? Verse 3, all the way to verse 4. Listen carefully, okay?
Dear friends, although I was very eager to write to you about the salvation we share, I felt I had to write and urge you to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to the saints. For certain men whose condemnation was written about long ago have secretly slipped in among you. They are godless men who changed the grace of our God into a license for immorality and deny Jesus Christ, our only sovereign and Lord.
The godless man who changed the grace of our Lord, who changed the grace of our God into a license for immorality and denied Jesus Christ, our only sovereign and Lord. They are godless men. They changed the grace of our God into a license for doing whatever they like to do. They don't do good deeds. They don't uphold the law. Okay? They thought, I'm saved by grace. I get a license to do anything I like. Don't do that. Okay? Jesus said, I do not come to abolish, but to fulfill, to uphold it. Well, take a look at 13, verse 8 to 10, Romans.
Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. The commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, and whatever other commandment there may be are summed up in this one rule, love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to its neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law.
Joshua, I want you to read it one more time, especially in verse 9. Talk about starting from the, the sixth commandment. Do not commit adultery, do not murder. From the sixth one all the way to the tenth one. What does it sum up to? They are summed up in this one rule. Love your neighbor as yourself. So in other words, Paul saying in 3:31 and later on in 13:8-10, he upholds the Ten Commandments. He didn't say, now you are saved by grace. Your license to commit adultery, your license to steal, your license to kill, license to do whatever you like to do. No, that's not true. That's not true. Could someone read that to me? What about those people who are Christian and they keep on commit adultery, murder, stealing? In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, what's the end result? I want you to read Romans 13, 8 to 10 first. And then 1 Corinthians 6, 9.
1 Corinthians 6:9.
You read the 13 first.
Okay.
Romans
13, 8 to 10. Let no debt remain outstanding, except the continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. The commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, and whatever other commandments there may be are summed up in this one rule. love her neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law.
So when you love your neighbor, you are fulfilling the law. You are upholding the law. You are not abolishing the law. Now, there's a difference. What is before that? Before that is Christ is the end of the law. That means you are justified freely by grace through faith. After you are justified, after you are called a saint, after you become a Christian, after you become God's son, God doesn't give you a license to keep on sinning. And God encourages you to uphold the law. The good news is, if we break the law, God says it's okay. Because you live by grace. You stand up, forget what is behind. Keep practicing it. One of these days you're going to make it. Where you fall, you're going to stand up. And do it again. But that doesn't mean it's a license for continuing sinning against God. That's grace. Because grace reigns in our life through righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ. He gives us numerous chances to do it. But that wasn't a license to sin against God. That's a grace that we can stand up again and forget what's behind and keep pressing yourself forward to upholding the law by loving one another. Love your neighbor as yourself. Do I make myself clear? We are justified freely by grace through faith because Christ is the end of the law. After that, we have to uphold the law. We have to uphold the law. What does it mean by uphold the law? In Paul's statement, if we uphold the law, means we love our neighbor as ourselves. Love is the fulfillment of the law. Love is the upholding of the law. Does it make sense? Take a look at what Paul teaching. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. What if I don't want to listen to him? I keep on doing what I'm doing. What kind of warning he gave it to us? Chapter 6, verse 9.
Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral nor idolaters nor adulterers.
Sexually immoral mean they commit sins against God, right? Right? Neither the sexually immoral, nor adulterer, nor adulterer, nor male prostitute, nor homosexual offender, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor the drunkard, nor the slanderer, nor the swindler will inherit the kingdom of God. Is he talking to the wicked people or is he talking to Christians? He's talking to his Christian. Talking to those who are justified freely by grace through faith. Step number one. Christ, the end of the law, means we are all justified freely by grace through faith in our Lord Jesus. After that, we uphold the law. We love one another. Take a look about James. Martin Luther, at that time, he didn't quite understand it, the teaching of the book of James. At one point in his life, he said, the book of James is not part of the Bible. Because he didn't understand God's word. Take a look at chapter 2, verse 8. what James said about the law. James said that that law is a royal law. What's that royal law? Royal law sum up in one statement. Love your neighbor as yourself. That royal law is written in Leviticus 19:18. Read that, James chapter 2 verse 8.
Do you really keep the royal law found in the scripture? Love your neighbor as yourself. You are doing right.
If we keep the royal law, it will do us good. We do the right thing. That's what James said. Take a look at what John said. James 2:8. James saying the same thing. We uphold the law. That law is the royal law. Same as what Jesus said. We don't come to abolish the law. Now that you are saved by grace through faith, you uphold it. You do it. You follow what Jesus is doing. Take a look at what John saying. 1 John 3:23. What is God's command? Singular. God's command? Singular. To believe and to love. I want you to write it down. To believe and to love. You write beside that. You write down. John 10:10. B. Jesus Christ come is to give us life and to have abundant life. When you love one another, to keep the royal law, you can have abundant life. He didn't just come to give you eternal life. He come to give you abundant life. Unfortunately, Christians nowadays, they departmentalize it. They break it. They say, I only want the first portion. Forget about the second part. I don't want the second part. And then I commit adultery. I do something that sins against God. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? The word "and" is a Greek word "kai." We don't separate that. Take a look at 1 John chapter 3 verse 23. It's single command, one command, to believe and to love. To believe what? To believe in the name of His Son Jesus Christ. To love what? To love one another. That is a single command. I want you to write it down. God's command. Right beside God's command, you write down John 12:50. Jesus said, I know God's command that leads to eternal life. That two parts lead to eternal life. Don't separate, my friend. Put it all together. I want you guys to read it. First of all, read 1 John 3:23, and then 10:10, Gospel of John, and then 10:50. Ross?
1 John 3:23. And this is His command,
His command is singular or plural? Singular. Right beside his command, you write down John 10:50. He say, I know his command leads to eternal life. Read that. 12:50.
I know that his command leads to eternal life. So whatever I say is just what the Father has told me to say.
Now go back. Read that one more time. 3:23.
And this is his command.
What is his command? Singular or plural?
Singular.
What is his command?
To believe in the name of the Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as his command.
So I want you to simplify it. God command to believe and to love so that it will impress your heart. Don't ever tell me, oh, I'm a Christian. You remember we love to sing the song? 393, written by A.B. Simpson 100 years ago. They only want half salvation. They dissect the God commandment. I just say, believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. That's all I believe. And they don't love one another. They dissect it. They change the law. You understand? To love one another means I don't steal. I don't commit adultery. I don't kill. That's what he means by to love one another. It's to uphold the royal law. And that's what we have to practice. Only those who are justified freely by grace have the ability to practice it. Because they have the Holy Spirit. They have the Word of God. For those non-believers, they are unable to do it. Because they don't have the Holy Spirit. They don't have the Word of God to empower them. Do you get it? Write that down. 10:10. God for John, 10:10, the letter part.
I am come that they have life and have it to the full.
God commandment, not just give you eternal life. God give you abundant life. That's the whole package. Unfortunately, you know, now Christians follow the secular world. In medical field, they say, oh, I'm internal medicine. And they only do the brain part, they only do that, they only do that, right? No, you don't separate that. You take it, you take the whole thing. And then you practice it. And you'll be good. And what James saying? If you keep the royal law by loving one another, this is the right thing to do. It will do you good. But that one, upholding the law, is after 10:4. 3:31 is after 10:4. Unfortunately, Paul writes 3:31 first and then 10:4. And people don't read it. They don't read it. And they keep saying what they like to say. And they went astray. And they thought they got a license to commit adultery. Do I make myself clear? So, Carl wasn't here, and Emily wasn't here. Today is the last day for Tuesday night Bible study. I got to recover my voice. Alright? Until further notice. But you know what? I give you a compact teaching today. I want you to study it. With that, I want you to study with all the books. They all talk about the same thing. They all talk about the same thing. I don't care whether John saying it, or James saying it, or Matthew saying it,
or Jesus saying it, or Paul saying it, or Peter saying it, they all say the same thing. I show you another way. How do we keep the royal law by loving one another? Which one go first? 10:4 go first. Christ, the end of the law. That means we are saved by grace through faith, right? And what goes second? 3:31. We uphold the law. The royal law. The royal law of loving one another. The royal law of loving one another, according to John's teaching, that is God's command. According to Jesus saying, that leads to eternal life. That means very important, right? Got to keep it. Right? Keep that. There's a royal law. The entire law sum up in one statement. Love your neighbor as yourself. As a matter of fact, that statement was recorded in Leviticus 19:18. It's part of the old law. Could someone read that? Leviticus 19:18. It's not something that is new. It's something that Moses talked about. That's why Jesus said, I do not come to abolish it. I come to fulfill it. Love is the fulfillment of the law. Emily, read that. 19:18.
Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against one of your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord.
Love your neighbor as yourself. It's something you have heard about that. And now we see how Jesus practiced it on the cross. He said, forgive them, Father, for they do not know what they are doing. Jesus did not take revenge. Love them. Pray for them. And practice that love. And that's what we should learn. He didn't just make a proclamation. He put into practice on the cross and proved that to me. That's how he keep it. He uphold it, and we all have to do the same. That is God's command to each and every one of us. Now, I talk about the second part. How can we do it? Okay? First of all, I tell you what it is. Paul talked about in the book of Romans. Now, I tell you, how do we practice it? Part number one. What? Number two. How? How do we practice it? So what is the gospel? I talk about what is the gospel. Number one is 10:4. Number two, 3:31. Right? What's the gospel? In the book of Romans. How do we practice it? Galatians 5:25.
5, chapter 5, divided into two parts, part number 1 and part number 2. Lead by the Spirit and keep in step with the Spirit. Joshua, could you read that? Galatians 5:25. How do we do it?
Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit.
What does it mean by live by the Spirit? Live by the Spirit means 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3. When you hear the gospel, the Holy Spirit will guide you, will help you, will lead you to understand. It's not that you are wise, it is because the Holy Spirit is a wonderful counselor, is helping you to understand God's word, to take a step of faith and believe in what you hear. That's what you mean by lead by the Spirit. Keep in step with the Spirit. That means we need the power of the Holy Spirit to enable you to do it. No one can practice the royal law by your own strength. You can only practice it with the help of the Holy Spirit. Take a look of what Jesus is saying, and it is recorded in the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 8, chapter 4, verse 8. When the Holy Spirit come upon you, you will receive power to be God's witness. When the Holy Spirit come upon you, you will keep in step with the Holy Spirit. Chapter 4, verse 8, Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit. And he can do what is impossible for him to do. I'm not saying that we keep the royal law by our own strength. If that is what I'm saying, that will be a cult. Buddha saying the same thing. Buddha saying, well, you got to do it yourself. Jesus saying, you got to do it by my own strength, by my strength, because I will give you the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit come upon you, you will have power to be my witness. To be my witness means you'll be able to do what I want you to do. You understand? So I want you to read number 1, 1 Corinthians 12, 3. Number 2, Acts 1:8-8. Number 1 is lead by the Spirit, as Galatians 5:25a. 5:25b is keep in step with the Spirit. If we lead by the Spirit, we better walk in step, keep in step with the Holy Spirit. We rely upon the Holy Spirit from the beginning until the end. That's why God giving us His Holy Spirit to us is to empower us to do it. Do you remember Stephen? Book of Acts, chapter 7. He was stoned to death. Before he passed away, what did he say? Father,
He didn't say Father. He said, Lord, I hand back the Spirit to you. Right? He finished his task. Just like Jesus. Say the same thing. Jesus was empowered by the Holy Spirit to do God's work. Stephen was empowered by the same Holy Spirit to do God, to do Jesus' work. You understand? We all need to rely upon the power of the Holy Spirit to do God's work. First of all, read Galatians 5:25.
Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit.
That's two steps. What's the first step? First step is 1 Corinthians 12:3.
Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus be cursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit.
If it's not the Holy Spirit helping you and to reveal to you, to let you know, to move you, you won't confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. If you are so filled and controlled by the evil spirit, you will deny Jesus. You will curse Jesus. You understand? So, salvation begins with the work of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will not depart you as orphanage. He will keep on helping you until you see Jesus Christ. Until you die. That's why each and every one of us has to seek to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's why we do not quench the Spirit fire, nor do we grieve the Holy Spirit, but we walk in step with the Holy Spirit. And that's why Paul said in Ephesians 5:18, not to be drunk with wine, because it leads to debauchery, but to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Just like what Jesus Christ has been done in the Gospel of John 3:34. He was filled with the Holy Spirit without limit. And God wants you to be filled with the Holy Spirit without limit too. Why Jesus Christ was filled with the Holy Spirit without limit? Because Jesus Christ total surrender. Complete obedience. The Holy Spirit can only fill that part of your area that you surrender yourself to the Lord. And that is exactly why Paul saying 5 Galatians 24:25. Those who belong to Jesus Christ has already crucified his sinful nature, passion, and desire with our Lord Jesus. If we are not willing to surrender ourselves, no way we will be filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's why Paul is saying in Romans chapter 6 and Romans chapter 12, what did he say? Offer Romans chapter 6, offer your member, your body part to Jesus and to serve God. In chapter 12, offer your body as living sacrifice. Offer yourself means surrender. Surrender means carrying the cross. Carrying the cross means crucifixion. Crucify the sinful nature and passion and desire. Because spirit desire is different from your desire. Romans 5, Galatians 5, 16 to 18. Our sinful desire is in conflict with the spirit desire. You have to surrender. If you do not surrender, he cannot fill you. He won't pry open. He won't use a sledgehammer to pry open that. You have to surrender. You have to do what Paul is saying, Romans 6, Romans 12. Then he can fill you with the Holy Spirit. Does it make sense?
Can you read that? At 1:8, and boy.
1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth.
And this thing fulfilled in the life of Peter. Boy.
Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, the rulers and elders of the people,
when he was filled with the Holy Spirit, he has the boldness, courage, and power to witness for Jesus and say things that he dare not say. The Bible never tells us that now this is what you have to do. Now you have to rely on your own strength to do it. No, he gives you all the resources. This is what I've given you, the Holy Spirit. The moment you believe in Jesus Christ, I give you the Holy Spirit. And you got to be filled with the Holy Spirit to finish God's task, to uphold his law. You understand? If Peter do not love his kinsmen, he won't share the gospel to them. He said, forget it. If I share it, you're going to kill me. Why should I share it to you? But he loved them. Love is a sacrificial love. He's willing to suffer so that someone gets the benefit. Just like what Paul said. 13, Romans 8 to 10. You're obligated, you're indebted to them. Continue to love them, even though they try to persecute you. That's God's love. That's God's commandment. You're upholding this, you could be richly and greatly rewarded in due time. Gospel of John 3:34. Give the Spirit without limit. 4:8, Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit. Paul was filled with the Holy Spirit too. So that's why when he teach to the church of Ephesus, tell them to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Brother and sister, to be filled with the Holy Spirit is not an abstract. To be filled with the Holy Spirit is a reality. What's the first step to be filled with the Holy Spirit? First step is study the Bible. Memorize the Bible. And put what you learn into practice. And teach others. And then keep the royal law. You're doing that five things, you'll be filled with the Holy Spirit. Why? What's the first thing? Number one, study God's word. Number two, memorize. Number three, pray. Number four, teach. Number five, practice it. This is a reality. To be filled with the Holy Spirit is not an abstract. What's the proof? I just pick one thing. What's the proof? If I am teaching others, I will be filled with the Holy Spirit. What's the proof? You write down Matthew 28:20. Teach them to obey what I commanded you, and I'll be with you always. Jesus Christ the Spirit. He's with you always. You're filled with the Holy Spirit. Prayer. You write down right beside prayer. Jude 20. Pray in the Holy Spirit. That means he didn't want us to pray. according to your word. Pray in the spirit. Pray according to God's word. Because Gospel of John 6:63. The spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The word that I've spoken to you, they are spirit and they are life. If you are so filled with the Holy Spirit, you got to be filled with God's word. You don't study God's word and then you kneel down to pray to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you are daydreaming. That's not God's way of doing it. A lot of Pentecostal Christians, they speak in tongues. They're doing all sorts of things, but they don't read the Bible. They don't memorize it. And they say they're filled with the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, the word that I've spoken to you, they are spirit, they are life. Read that, 663, Gospel of John. If you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you got to be filled yourself with God's word. Just like Colossians 3:16. That's God's way to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Read that.
The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I've spoken to you are spirit and they are life.
If you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you got to study the scripture. You got to meditate on it. Memorize it. You got to put it into practice. You got to pray about that. And you got to teach other people. All these things is helping you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Colossians 3:16.
Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God.
Do it one more time.
Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God.
How can you teach other people? If you don't fill yourself with the word of God, you only teach your own idea. You're not teaching God's word. The first step is let the word of Christ dwell in you, not scarcely, but richly. And then you'll be able to teach. As you teach and admonish one another, you can teach them and admonish them with all wisdom, because you are so filled with the word of Christ. The second part is talking to those who are joining the choir to sing songs. As you sing psalm, hymn, and spiritual song, a lot of people sing songs without gratitude in their heart to God. Why? Because they do not let the word of Christ dwell in them richly. Before you teach, before you admonish, before you sing, what should you do? According to Colossians 3:16, what kind of homework do you have to do? You have to let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. What's the words of Christ? I want you to write that right beside word of Christ. You write down John 6:63. If you let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, that means you are filled with the Holy Spirit. You are filled with God's life. Is your life changing another life? Right? Well, with what I say in mind, if you remember
and put it into practice, it would do you a lot of good. Okay? So today is the last day. Tuesday Bible night study, okay? See you guys in the church. So we pray. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you be gracious to each and every one of us. Help us to put what we hear today into practice. When we are at home, we know that we live by the Holy Spirit. We need to keep in step with the Holy Spirit. And help us to put what we learn into practice so that we can experience what it really means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. In those days, when they obey you not to leave Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit comes, and they all receive the Holy Spirit, and they all feel of the Holy Spirit, they all have the power and courage to witness for you and bring a lot of people to come to know you because they obey you. They put what they learn into practice. And then they teach others. In chapter 3 of the book of Acts, Peter and John continue to pray at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. In chapter 1, 120 people keep praying with one heart. They're eager to seek your face. And you reveal your power to them. Lord, I pray that you help us to do the same. Because you do not show favoritism. You are impartial God. How you bless Peter and Paul in those days, and you will bless us if we do the same thing. And help us to study diligently your word, to hide it within our heart, to let the word of Christ dwell within us richly. And so that we can meditate on it day and night. So that we can think about them. So that we know what to do. So that we are guided by the Holy Spirit. Because we know that we live by the Spirit. We got to walk in step with the Spirit. Otherwise, we are worthless instrument in your sight. And help us to be a noble instrument. So that we be quickly rewarded when we see you face to face. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.